It's Palmer.
The most trusted name in radio, Rhett Palmer, the mayor of the airwaves.
Okay, yeah, that's Jürgen is from Ace Computers. Act
hey,
Computers.
This is Rhett, and how are you? Yes, Act Computers. They're really good over there. It's a great idea. Gift certificate for Act Computers. We also want to support the Ocean Grill. Which, by the way, Christmas is exploding. Have you been over there?
I haven't been over there
lately.
I should
take you for a Christmas lunch over
you
there.
You should, a dinner.
But I think last time you took Barbara and I for dinner. I'm not sure. But anyway, it is just beautiful with the decorations. Mm. I mean, it's just exploded. Anyway, great gift certificate idea.
Yeah.
Ocean Grill. I mean, who would not want a gift certificate from the Ocean Grill,
right?
Make it simple.
Oh. Okay.
So, well, he has specialty food requirements.
They use too much butter on pretty much everything. Oh. Half their menu will kill me.
Yeah, Noah likes Sloppy Joe's.
I like barbecue.
I like Sloppy Joe's. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Sloppy Joe's, I got to put my glasses on. We got to do some business here. We're talking with David Hunter, former U.S. diplomat.
Right.
Biden says he's willing to talk peace with Putin. Oh, my God. So, I mean, you know, Putin, this guy, oh, by the way, right here yesterday, we sat a man from Ukraine.
Oh, really?
Okay. I called you.
Didn't yeah, you no, but I didn't get it till late in the day. Yeah.
And then we're also going to be talking about mysterious blasts occurred at a Russian strategic bomber bases. What's that all about? Pakistan ambassador to Afghanistan survives assassination attempt. Pearl Harbor Day is coming up. Are we ready for another attack? The December 7th Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii was a wake-up call for Americans. It showed we don't live in isolation. Enemies can attack us at will. What were they attempting to do? We'll get back to that a little later. But what were they attempting to do? What were the Japs thinking? Well, they probably suspected we were going. I mean, that got us into the war with Hitler.
Yes, it did.
And they thought we were particularly vulnerable? Were they going to take us over, or is it just because they wanted those islands for oil? Or
we were particularly vulnerable. We did not have a big military-industrial complex at that time, before World War II.
Yeah.
We were basically what you call a peace nation. We wanted to be left alone, and just don't bother us, and we won't bother you. And that's part of why the U.S. did not go into World War II. We were saying, you know, this is a European war. It's tough luck, but we're not involved. That was before NATO. And
we didn't know how evil this guy Hitler was, apparently.
And we thought that we could live in splendid isolation because we're behind, this massive ocean.
Mm.
And same thing with Hawaii. We had some military base out there, but we did not have any anticipation that somebody could attack us on that island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. If you look where Hawaii is, how could somebody attack you out there? So nobody was prepared for this. And the Japanese, used this very clever, secretive means to come and use aircraft carriers and attack and destroy our fighters and ships, sinking of ships in Pearl Harbor. So basically, once you take those things out, they're out of commission. It takes years to rebuild or replace those things. And they figured if we destroy, half of the Pacific fleet, the United States is going to be so weakened, it'll take them years before they start to be able to recover. And by that time, we'll have taken over all of Asia. That was their strategy.
You know, the theorists were back then, even they existed, saying that we knew about this and it was allowed because it would get us into the war.
Well, there are some suspicions, and more than suspicions, about that. Roosevelt was a very close friend with Churchill, and Britain was already under attack by the Germans, and so Roosevelt himself would have liked to have gotten the United States into war, but we had an official position of neutrality, staying out of the war.
Why? Have you, I mean, philosophically, there's a book out about, I mean, many books about war.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of writing a new one called War and Peace. Mm. By the way, and you can't copyright a title, so I could do that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
But anyway, so but I do remember reading a book about why is man bent on warring? I mean, it's like, yeah. I guess we'd be sitting around going, Igor, what do we do today? Let's go down out of camp and take what they got.
Well,
their women look better than
that's
ours.
That's sort of what you might want to think of. In the case of Putin and Ukraine, it's partly plunder. If I can take Ukraine, think of all the wheat that they have. They're very rich. They're one of the largest producers of wheat in the world. They compete with Russia in the sale of wheat.
Yeah.
And they have nice ports. The Odessa port is a great location.
Since the breakoff with Russia, I was told yesterday they prospered.
Well, Ukraine has prospered. Obviously, what makes Russia strong is essentially its raw materials, especially its oil and gas. And it does have diamonds, too. Russia has diamonds. I mentioned this before. That's like the third largest export besides oil and gas. And they're shipping the diamonds in rough to places like Israel, where they're being cut and then sold as Israeli diamonds instead of Russian diamonds. So you're sort of seeing a money laundering of these stones as they go through the pipeline.
There's an enormous amount of money made on all these diamonds. My stepfather, who was in that business,
yeah.
I mean, he'd come home with tens and tens of thousands of dollars in his pocket from a deal. He'd go to New York City.
Right.
And Shavat is going to see the Jewish fans down there, and they're just defeating you. You get the portion. If we do this, you get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd be putting it out on the floor, counting all these stacks of money.
Right.
It was ridiculous. There's a lot of money in diamonds.
Yeah, there is. Unfortunately, Russia, again, is sitting on that. I've mentioned before on the show that a lot of that oil and gas and diamonds and precious minerals are out in the Far East, the Russian Far East,
yeah.
Which really wasn't Russian. That was stolen from the Chinese back in 1860s. So if President Xi is listening and he wants to recover something and get national pride back, he should take back the Russian Far East and leave Taiwan alone. That's my recommendation. Taiwan is too important with its...
isn't it the busiest port in the world?
Well, it's not the port. No, that's Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But Taiwan is
Taiwan, yeah.
Taiwan is important because it's got the microchip factories. It produces more than 50% of the world's microchips.
Yeah, when that went down for COVID, I had this new Mercedes SUV.
Yeah.
They said it was maybe a year into it. They said, oh, we'll pay you back what you paid for and more because we can sell it for this. You know those little, the Mercedes-Benz that looks like a Jeep?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, it's a Jeep. And people are paying because it was somehow it jumped up to like a prestige thing.
Yeah.
For like realtors and stuff.
Right.
$110,000. They were.
Right.
When the COVID hit, I go down there, we can't get the chips. $300,000 and people are buying them.
Really?
Just for prestige.
That's more than a Hummer.
So now, much. Yeah. Hummers suck. But this is like when I interviewed John Walsh from America's Most Wanted, that's what he was driving.
Yeah.
Hummer back then, first time.
Right.
Way, way, way back. But anyway, let's get onto this thing. This thing looks like a Jeep.
Yeah.
You know, I think I sat one. I'm going to go down there and test drive one. I'm not going to buy one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell them that. But
you know what it is when you say it's a Jeep? It is a German Jeep. It was made with specs for the German military.
It's a box.
No, but it's...
How did they get this prestige? I guess because it has the Mercedes on it.
Well, it does... it's like a Jeep that runs really smoothly.
But does it have the double-layered suspension?
I'm not sure, but, it's like... I remember a lot of people that wanted these... The original SUV was meant to be one that you could take off-road and drive up into the hills, and you see these photographs of driving up into the mountains.
It's a very utilitarian vehicle. I had a Mercedes E-Class as well as SUV for the past 25 years.
Right.
Now I got rid of the sedan. One of these days, you grow up, you will get an SUV even at your age.
No.
Yep.
Nope, I won't. Unless I'm going to be driving in country roads up in the mountains somewhere. If I lived in North Carolina or someplace where you had to go
Even the ride is better. You have a sporty ride. Believe me, I own a lot of those E-classes, so I know. They're a sporty ride.
Yeah.
This my SUV right there?
I like a sporty ride.
You like a rough ride.
Tell me about it, a rough ride.
Now,
you want to see a rough ride, get into an old MG, one of those old MGs.
My brother had one, an MGB.
rough ride, yeah.
I can't get in one anymore.
Yeah.
The funny thing is about the Mini Cooper. Remember, I owned one of those about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the Mini Cooper a guy looks at me and says, "Did you have to have the seated some smart aleck?" You know, we're down there protesting for life. You know, save babies. And this guy goes, "Hey, Rick, did you have to get your seat adjusted for that?" I don't know if he was joking with me or whatever. He's not on my very good list anymore, of course.
Yeah.
But Gary Wheeler, who was 400 pounds. He gets in his Mini Cooper. He just bought another new one.
Okay. Well, they have gotten bigger.
Former sheriff.
The old Mini Coopers were really small. I know somebody
this
who...
New one
I could not fit in my sister's Mini Cooper, even with the seat railed all the way back.
Yeah.
Because my legs are too long.
All right. Well, anyway, we're drifting.
What year was that?
We're drifting off the Putin peace deal. Let's get back to that. The Latvian prime minister... it was a very attractive young woman. I'm impressed by, as I said, many of these European heads of state are women, and they're young and intelligent and good-looking. So, why can't we get some of that over here in America?
I'd love for us to have a female president.
A female, smart
president,
good-looking, intelligent,
polite. I think in Arizona we have a very bright lady that ran for office, and I think she won.
Well, I don't think she did, and I know that's Carrie Lake. And
why would they vote for that other character than this Lake?
Because the same reason why Herschel Walker lost. Okay,
did he lose last night?
He lost. He lost. He's gone. He's gone. And there's one that Trump backed that is gone. And why would the Republicans be backing somebody who has such a checkered...
Let's forget about him. What about her?
Let's go back to Walker.
I want to talk about her.
Okay, well,
what about her?
All right. I'm not sure exactly why Carrie Lake did not win.
She's beautiful. She's intelligent.
She is. And she may have a future in the Republican Party. I'm not sure.
If they have figured out how to work these machines, we're in trouble.
No, that's not it. The point is that her policies track too close to Donald Trump's. And people are not voting for his brand of
like what?
Essentially, you saw what happened in the last week with him hanging around with Kanye West. Trump was...
Oh, I don't watch the news anymore.
So let me just brief you. He had dinner with Kanye West. Kanye West has come out anti-Semitic big time. He is literally on the front pages.
I keep trying to find the quotes where this is.
All right, anyway.
They can't give me any quotes.
Okay, anyway, he has come out.
Can you have a quote?
I don't have a quote with me.
Find a quote.
Yeah, I'll get you a quote.
On Alex Jones, he said that Hitler wasn't that bad of a guy.
Yeah, that was an interview on Alex Jones. Alex Jones,
oh,
of course,
my God. That
is the
Alex
guy
Jones
you
is
don't
such
like.
A troublemaker.
And guess who's on there with him? Kanye West.
Oh, my word. What a combination.
Yeah, what a combination.
And Nick Fuentes.
And Fuentes was on there, too. So Alex Jones had the same people that Donald Trump was having dinner with on Alex Jones' show. And on the show, Kanye West said, I admire Hitler, something like that. And he's made very anti-Semitic remarks in the last few weeks.
But you don't know any of the quotes.
Well, I don't
have
them.
I've been looking for a quote, and what he said is so loosely taken.
Okay, anyway, I will get you quotes.
Now, if he did say this thing about Hitler was not such a bad guy.
There's stuff to admire in everybody. He revolutionized the roads, that he helped engineer the cars as we know them today, that ribbon microphones as we know them are because of him.
The what? The last thing?
Ribbon microphones?
I don't know. But anyway...
Hold on. What's a ribbon microphone?
It's a style of microphone that was invented in the 50s that was used for traditional radio because it had native amperage out.
Let me ask you something. By the way, are you on a mic? I know I can hear
you. Yes.
Okay. Because Ryan was telling me the microphone in there was broken.
Yeah.
Was it broken? It was fixed?
It was severely undergained because it has no preamp.
Okay. Anyway, let's go back. We can leave this domestic politics aside for the time
being. Why are you so anti-Walker?
Because Walker abused his wife.
See that? See, they put that crap out right before the election, and you buy it hook, line, and sinker.
The wife testified right before the election. It wasn't that they
put
it out.
A wife who has retribution in her eyes for her ex-husband.
Okay, all right.
You
anyway.
Know? Do you wonder how many times that happens in this town? He beat me, he beat me, he beat me, and it turns out he never beat her.
Okay, okay. So,
you know, I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe yeah. I shouldn't be. I'm not necessarily standing up for the guy.
Right.
But,
right. Anyway.
But see, you took that hook, line, and sinker. So see what the Democrats do, this underhanded stuff.
It's not
It's the Daily. Okay. Remember the mayor of Chicago?
Now what you're doing is you're assuming that the wife is lying. That's what you're assuming. Instead of supporting the wife in a claim of
what makes
abuse.
What makes you think that she's telling the truth?
I would give her at least half.
And what's with the timing of her deciding to do this right when the guy's running for office?
Well, a lot of people come out with these things when they are outraged that somebody is, you know, in this case, Herschel Walker was making the claims that he is anti-abortion. Several of his girlfriends have testified that he funded their abortions.
Several.
Not just one. More than one. Two, well, at least. Two.
Two is not several.
Two is several.
Two is a couple.
Well, okay. All right. Two.
See the exaggeration?
No, I don't think several.
That's why people listen to this. That guy is a liberal. They call you a liberal.
All right. If you're saying several and two is different.
We all know two is a couple. Several is three or more.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe there were
That's
three.
That's not widely agreed upon, but okay.
It's not widely agreed upon. You see, Noah.
Hey, you shut up. What are you, a liberal? A liberal pinko in there?
I'm a libertarian.
Okay.
Yeah, libertarian. That's what caused Cheryl Horrell Worshires or whatever. Who's the guy? Walker Hershiser?
Herschel
What's his
Walker.
Name? Herschel Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. The anyway, let's get back to Pete.
Putin's. Which doesn't make any sense because what did he just say he is?
A libertarian.
Okay, libertarian. So the libertarian guy was running during the election. So he took a large chunk of the votes that would have gone to Herschel Walker. Now he's not running. So those votes should have gone to Herschel. Herschel should have won. Why wouldn't he? Because they're messing with the equipment.
No, I don't think so. I think,
we have
I think,
a quote.
I think here's my opinion, and I'll say this because I'm not a libertarian, but I am an independent. I was a Republican for, you know, years and years.
I doubt it.
Yes, I was. No. I was a Ronald Reagan Republican and a George Bush Republican. George Bush Republican.
Was your dad Ronald. Republican?
Yes. That's, everybody in my family, it. Going back for four generations, was Republican.
And you're a turncoat.
All the way back to Abraham Lincoln.
You're a turncoat.
All the way back to Abraham Lincoln. No. So
I'm related to Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, right.
I am.
Yeah, I can tell. You've got a stovepipe hat.
I wonder what I did with that thing.
Anyway, the
I might have my penny and my history right in here. Let me see.
Yeah. The issue is, and this is the same thing that's going on with
here it is. This is my penny from Civil
Abraham
War,
Lincoln, Civil
and
War
my
penny.
Grandmother gave this to me before she died, and I guess it's typed out. Our genealogy is typed out on there. Let's not do it right now because a little paper, but I better get that copied before something.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty cool.
I just got a new wallet.
Yeah.
And I was going to go, I got it all cleared. I was going to throw out the other wallet.
And then you had the
penny. I said, take a look. And I took it. I went, oh my word, I almost threw that out.
Threw the penny out. Okay. Yeah, that's especially if it's a family heirloom, you should keep it.
Oh my word.
But
I've been selling heirlooms lately. Too much stuff.
I know. That's true.
We hold on to all this crap. Well, Aunt Louise had this back in 1922.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Aunt Louise is dead.
Anyway,
we can't be. It's like these guys running around. It's a mental disease. You see them with their baskets over by the Publix. And the guy has a thing, what do you call it, a carriage?
Yeah.
And he's got 16 bags hanging on it. And then it's filled with stuff. Why do the homeless want, they start collecting stuff just like we do. I was with a friend yesterday. He has 5 units rented in town here for storage.
Yeah.
5.
And he can't get rid of this stuff.
It's over $10,000 a year.
I know.
In 10 years, that's $120,000. Get rid of the junk.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true.
Give it to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. They're especially this time of year, Christmas. It would be a good idea to give. Also, it's a good time of year because it's end of tax season, so you can get it all written off for next year's taxes if you give it right now. So go ahead and put that on your to-do list for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. I should do that,
I'm going to be ringing the bell.
Yeah, I should do that, too.
Are you going to come down and ring the bell with me this year, okay?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I'm asking you. But why can't you come ring the bell with me? Come on, man.
Well, the main reason is I'm still concerned about COVID and the other infectious diseases out there. This is something, if people are paying attention, the hospitals are filling up, especially the pediatric wards are full in most of the hospitals. Out in
so you'll let me go and ring the bell, but you won't.
Well, you're taking a risk. You know that the point is, if you're in a public environment with a lot of people around you, you're taking a risk, and it's you have to calculate: is it worth it or not? Okay, is it worth it or not? Mm. So, anyway, we get it back to Putin's peace talks. As I said, this Latvian prime minister said no concession of land should be given in return for Putin ceasing his hostilities. If you give Putin even a square kilometer or two of land, then he has gotten a reward for his aggression. So the point is, in reality, and I agree with her, the point is that no peace should be given in return for land, and in fact, peace should require war reparations by Putin. If he wants peace, then he can pay billions and billions of dollars to repay Ukraine for the damages that he and his troops have caused. All those missiles that are being fired at, power plants and
December 15th.
Yeah.
Thursday from 4 to 6.
Yeah. Anyway.
You'll be there with your mask,
no,
right?
I will have to check my calendar.
Yeah, you're so full of donkey dust.
I'll have to check my. Anyway, you're not paying attention. So that's the reality. This is a very serious issue.
What's the reality?
Biden has said that he would be willing to have talks with Putin about the situation in Ukraine. So, we're talking about.
So what? So he's willing. Putin doesn't want to talk.
Well, that's not true. Putin would want to talk, but Putin is setting conditions, saying my conditions for talking are that the areas that we have formally annexed, are going to be made part of Russia.
No.
So Putin's saying that because he went through this fake procedure of annexing land that he doesn't control.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but I just annexed your home over on the beach.
It's the same concept.
It's mine.
It's the same concept.
Yeah, little runt. I'm gonna run you over there and sit on you.
It's the same.
So you move out. Yeah. It's mine.
It's the same concept.
I've annexed it.
Yeah.
Call my attorney.
And here's another one that is bizarre by the Russians in the same context. The Russians now have gone to court and have ruled in their fake court system that the deputy prime minister of Ukraine is a criminal and should be extradited and imprisoned in Russia because she is a criminal. Now, since when does a foreign government have the right to try someone else in court?
I don't know, because there's a sucker born every minute, and everybody else going, hey, Putin, are you going to go into Ukraine? No. He just lies,
I know. So of course,
then he says that they have Nazis over there. I mean, word.
Now, the point is, Russia...
The good thing about this is maybe people stop being so damn gullible.
Russia, to my knowledge, is still in Interpol. Interpol is for those in the audience out there, it's a global, it's not actually an international police force, that's wrong. It is a cooperative body among police around the world where they will provide information and give help in apprehending people that have been charged. Now, what it's called the Red Corner charge, and the Red Corner is a designation on a piece of paper up on the top is a red corner that shows that this person has an arrest warrant out for him or her. And if another country is aware that that person is in their country, they can cooperate by apprehending them and turning them over to the country that issued the arrest warrant. So what Russia's doing is it's issuing arrest warrants, putting these people into Interpol, so that if this woman, who's the deputy prime minister of Ukraine, happens to go into another country, that country's police may think, oh, it's a red corner for an arrest warrant, let's grab her and turn her over to Russia. And they don't look into the fact that why is this being done? Because Russia is corrupting Interpol. It's using it improperly. I think Russia should be banned from Interpol. That's another example. Russia should not be allowed in as Security Council of the United Nations, but it also should not be a participating member of Interpol. Russia is a criminal organization. It is not a state. It's basically a mafia. Russia is run by Putin as a mafia. It is a criminal organization. Would you turn over your citizens to the Italian mafia? No. So you shouldn't even consider any request of Russia under legal...
You know, I told you this again and again, and I won't stop talking about it. I ran into a guy who was formerly with the cartel, you know, Mexican cartel and stuff. And I said, as soon as I met him, he had a miraculous encounter. He was in the water with a bunch of visitors in the ocean, and started saying how miserable he was and his wife, and he's got five women, you know, plus his wife, or whatever the situation was.
Yeah.
And they brought him up to the hotel room, and he says they talked to him about Jesus Christ. He got born again. He dropped out of the cartel. But I said to him, I said, I've always wanted to talk to one of you guys. I said, look, you got $5 million. It's great. You can party the rest of your life. Get out of it. You didn't get caught. You didn't get killed yet. Get out of it and go get your girlfriend or your wife or whatever and have fun. And it's, I said, why do you keep on? He said, because there's never enough. You want more. You want more.
Yeah.
It's like Putin right now. He's got $80 billion. He could live like a king anywhere.
Well,
what are you doing? I guess it's like me. Like, I keep coming in doing this job. I don't have to, but I do.
You don't have $80 billion?
I only have 60. But, you know, the thing is that the Bible says confess things that are not as though they were. Mm. That doesn't mean lie. It means you know.
Okay.
Anyway, but, you know, I mean, I do this because I would probably die 1,000 deaths if I didn't have something to contribute to my community.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if I contributed all that much, but at least I thought I have.
At least you have entertained people and had them have a laugh, and maybe educate them a bit.
A wee bit. That's right.
Yeah. Little education is a good thing. Yeah.
Well, it'll all come out in the in the wash up above. Right.
Well, anyway, let's go to the next.
Okay, we're going to go. We should have. Okay, we've now officially changed what we're talking about. Here we go.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about mysterious blasts. Yeah, what's this? I didn't hear about 400 miles inside Russia. Several blasts have occurred at Russian air bases where bombers are located. In one case, several Russians were killed. Ukraine has hinted that some of the missiles fired at Ukraine are being returned to their firing bases to explode. Does this mean Ukraine has taken control of some Russian rockets?
Yeah, this was originally what was hinted at by the one of the Ukrainian presidential advisors, Mikhail Podolyak. Mm. He said, if something is launched into another country's airspace, sooner or later, unknown flying objects will return to their departure point. That's what he said. Now, that, in one sense, might mean that the Ukrainians have developed technology to alter the GPSs. If these Russian rockets are being guided by GPS, it is a known possibility that you can alter the GPS information that's going into the rocket, so it ends up firing somewhere else and landing somewhere else than where it was originally programmed. It's like if you're in a car and you had the wrong GPS, you'd drive the wrong location. Yeah. Same thing. So, so that's one interesting possibility. But it also appears that The Ukrainians captured some Russian missiles back in April of this year. They captured 24 Russian Uragan missiles that were being brought close to probably into the territory of Ukraine and were going to be used to fire at Ukrainian targets. And so it's possible that they fired some of those missiles back at Russia. Used some of Russia's own missiles that they had captured and fired them back at Russia. The latest report is that It is a drone that the Ukrainians have, which has struck these two bases. Now, this is important because these are like 400 miles inside Russia. One of them is only about 150 miles south of south and east of Moscow. So, in theory, these drones, if they could hit those two Russian air bases, they could also hit Moscow. The drones could. Why they hit the drones, they hit the air bases. One of the bases, Ingalls Air Base in Saratova, it is used for firing cruise missiles at Ukraine. So they flew their drone, the Ukrainians flew their drone, and blew up bombers and other personnel at that base because that base was being used to fire cruise missiles at Ukraine. So this is military to military. So in some sense, it's not as nasty as what Russia is doing by attacking civilians in Ukraine. The Ukrainians are only attacking military in Russia. But it does cross that line of now Ukraine is starting to attack inside Russia. And that was the first one, the Saratov. The other one was in Ryazan. That's the one that's near Moscow. And that is a base for these Tupolev 95 bombers. They actually destroyed two bombers on the tarmac. Mm-hmm. So, and you have to think about bombers. Our bombers, strategic bombers, would cost probably close to $1 billion a piece if you're looking at these B-2 bombers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the Russians have anything that sophisticated, but I'm guessing it's at least $100 million a piece for those bombers, even in Russia, because they have, you know, a cheaper version. That's like $200 million up in smoke with a drone. So Putin is got to be, you know, scratching his head right now and thinking, you know, where is this going? And some military strategists are thinking, where is this going? And saying, well, will this be cause for Russia to escalate? The reality is Russia doesn't have any landing space for escalation. It does not. It's run out of tarmac for escalating. Right now, the only thing that they could do is you know, some sort of tactical nuke. We've all been through that. China has told the Russians that's a no-no. That would be absolutely disastrous for you and for us and for everybody. And we would no longer be even in your camp if you used nukes. Because China would, if he were seen as aligning with Russia and using nukes, then China would become a pariah state just like Vladimir is. So Putin has no options except to just keep slogging away. And that says the economy is bad. Obviously, you know, they're upset that we have now and the Europeans have now put a price cap on the price of oil from Russia. Mm-hmm. That's something that happened this week. They have what's called a $60 a barrel price cap. So nobody can pay more than $60 a barrel in the Western European alliance from Russia for Russian oil. So, of course, what Russia is going to be doing is going to be selling it to China and to India. Mm-hmm. But because the Europeans aren't buying it at more than $60 a barrel, that means the Chinese and Russians can say, well, look, Vlad, we don't want to pay a lot either. So even though you're selling it to us, Vlad, we want to buy it for $60 or $70 max.
Vlad,
yeah. Yeah. So Mr. Morsi from India, I'm sure they're good negotiators. He'll probably say, well, look, you can't sell it for more than 60 in Europe. So why should we pay more than 60 to buy it from you now?
Yeah.
We're doing you a favor by buying it.
Yeah.
So we'll pay you 61 or 62.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, that's the concept behind this. Zelensky said that the price should be lower. He said it should be $30 a barrel. But at least they got an agreement. And the European alliance has stayed together.
Yeah. And do you speak Ukrainian?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to have this Ukraine guy come in today.
When?
I'm texting him now.
Oh, right? Okay.
Can you bring in your Ukraine friend, former U.S. diplomat David Hunter, is in the studio live today, and he speaks Ukraine and
lived
there.
In Ukraine, yeah.
He lived in Ukraine.
Yeah, okay. All right. So anyway, that'd be good if he can come in. I would love to have a talk. And what is this guy, besides being Ukrainian, what's his background?
He's a plumber. But the only reason he could come is he's 63. They won't let anybody 61 and under.
Oh, he was able to leave Ukraine to come over here. Okay.
There's a whole program. They had a sheet here yesterday. This is family out west of town. They do turmeric. It's white rabbit. They used to be an organic place.
Yeah.
Until they got wind that this turmeric that grows in Florida very abundantly.
Yeah.
They're the number one supplier in continental U.S. Hawaii does more than them. But other than that, they're the number one supplier of turmeric in continental United States of America.
It's very healthy. Turmeric is a spice.
His wife, Valerie, she started taking, she had real pain in her arm. Immediately she was feeling much better.
The Indians use turmeric in all of their foods. Turmeric is a basic ingredient of a lot of Indian cooking. And that's
Are you talking about American Indians?
I'm talking about Hindu Indians, the Hindus from Madras and New Delhi.
They use a lot of
turmeric in their cooking.
Something else they use too, the red stuff.
I don't know, coriander and turmeric.
It's the typical thing that they put in
curry.
Curry. It didn't occur to you?
Yeah, curry. All right. So anyway, that's enough on that. The reality is that Ukraine has moved now. Just to close up on that topic, Ukraine has now moved to start striking inside Russia, not civilian populations like the Russians are doing. They're not terrorists like the Russians, but they are attacking military targets inside Russia. Rather, they are not admitting it. They're technically saying that they don't know who fired these.
They're going to bring him in at 10 or 10:15.
That's fine. Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Which one?
I can stay 10.
You can stay today.
Yeah, I can stay till 10:30. Till 10:30.
No, you have to stay beyond 10:30 because he's coming in to talk to us.
Oh, well, I might stay a little bit longer. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Okay.
Came back last week and didn't tell me. Came back for David's show.
Oh, really?
You came here with your tail between your legs. Oh, you're still here? No. Like, I don't mind.
No.
That's at all.
No. Well, he had called me the day before.
Oh, but you didn't tell me.
Well, I didn't,
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to get people fighting over me. That's what it is. Okay.
Apparently, a former U.S. diplomat was killed yesterday. He stirred up jealousy among talk show hosts. And he did get on a national show because they heard him on my show.
Yeah.
They said, we listen to your podcast, Mr. Palmer, down here in Miami.
Yeah.
How'd they ever find me in Miami?
Yeah. No, it was in West Palm. It was in West Palm.
How'd they ever find me, though?
I don't know. Somebody must
You know what's amazing? It's just like you said, you got that call from London, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what goes on in this world today. You never know who's calling.
Right. Well, they're.
Do you know a lady blew into town last week? She was speaking at the Vero Beach Book Center. And this, I'm boasting here, folks. But she used to live here. She lives in Texas. Rhett Dugan is in the book. Which she said this character, he's a talk show host and everything.
And he's named for you.
Yeah.
From the book. Okay.
Okay. I'm in the book. And she said most of the women that read the book prefer me in the book over the guy who's the hero.
Well, they should have gotten your name right, though. Dugan is...
Some other guy called yesterday and wanted to know. Was that you? Who was it?
No.
Somebody was listening to a book or something. The name of a character in a new top-selling book is Rhett Palmer.
Oh.
And they wanted to know if that was me.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe I get around more than I realize. Look at this fine specimen of an old man.
All right. Okay. Let's get on to the... Or do you want to take a break, or should we go to the next topic?
I think we should always take a break.
Let's take a break.
Breaks are really good.
We're going to a different country now. We're going to Pakistan.
We're going to go to Pakistani?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go to Pakistan. They talk like this?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to Pakistani ambassador to Afghanistan survives assassination attempt. Pakistani ambassador Ubed Nazami. Did I say it right?
Yes, perfect.
Look at that. I didn't even study for it. I'm increasing my intellect by hanging with you. Okay.
Yeah.
So today's broadcast is brought to you by Center for Advanced Eye Care. Eye doctors that genuinely care about your eye care. Dr. Mound's been a sponsor of this broadcast for 22, 23 years. Took great care of my mom. Takes good care of me. Takes good care of Barbara. Takes good care of all my friends and family. Trust me. If I'm going to get eye surgery done, it's going to be Dr. Mallon. Okay, we're going to take a break.
Yep.
All right, we're back with David Hunter, former U.S. diplomat to 5 different nations, including Ukraine. And en route right now is Brian from White Rabbit Farms, who's going to... They're the biggest provider of turmeric in continental United States. And he and his wife and this young man, well, not young man, he's 63. That's the only reason he was allowed to leave Ukraine. Anyway, you're going to get to meet him in a little while, and they're trying to, he's got put bids in for 14 more to bring him to America.
Okay.
So if you've got extra dough, you can help out. If you can just give them some food and a place to stay for a while. So everybody's, so how many are you going to adopt?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Okay, so Pakistan ambassador to Afghanistan survives assassination attempt. Ubed Nazami narrowly escaped assassination inside his embassy compound in Kabul. Is that how you pronounce it? Kabul, Afghanistan. And he was grazed.
Right.
One of his accompanying guards was killed. But aren't the Taliban and Pakistan's friends? Who shot him?
Yeah, well, this is you know, getting to be an increasingly serious conflict going on with Pakistan and Afghanistan. And inside Pakistan, keep in mind that Pakistan was friends with the Taliban. This is called the Afghan Taliban. We'll use the term Taliban to refer to Afghanistan unless we say Pakistan Taliban.
Okay.
So the Afghan Taliban were allies of the Pakistan government. The ISS, the intelligence service, provided support, arms, ammunition, training, and safe havens for 20 years while we were fighting against the Taliban, trying to help the Ghani government stay in power and the Karzai government stay in power. The Pakistanis were supporting our enemy and Ghani's enemy, the Taliban.
Yep.
Well, guess what? So the Taliban won. They took over last year, remember?
Yeah,
they came marching in and took over. We retreated. We're left with our tail between our legs
and
flying
left,
out.
Left $1 billion of equipment.
And left $1 billion of equipment.
What's going on?
Well, anyway, so the
what's
point
really
is that the Taliban won, and the Pakistanis said, oh, our guys won. So in they think that the Pakistan government and military and intelligence, they think that the Taliban are their guys. But it so happens that their guys, the Afghan Taliban, are friends with the Pakistan Taliban, who have a declared enemy of the Pakistan government. They want to destroy the Pakistan government and replace it with an emirate or a caliphate like in Afghanistan. The Pakistan Taliban want to make Pakistan a bigger version of the Islamic Taliban in Afghanistan. So now the Pakistan government is saying, we're going to ask the Afghan Taliban, remind them that we were their friends for 20 years, rein in and don't support this Pakistan Taliban trying to overthrow us. So the foreign minister, deputy foreign minister, Rana Sanula, she just went over to Afghanistan last week to try to talk to the Taliban and get them to say, hold your friendship at bay. Don't support the Pakistan Taliban. They're causing trouble for us.
Mm, yeah.
I just mentioned to you before that the Pakistan Taliban had a ceasefire for a number of months. Well, they have now broken that ceasefire, and now they're back at war. So the Pakistan Taliban is at war with the Pakistan government right now. And so this Minister Sanula, she went over to Afghanistan, and the Afghan Taliban Minister of Defense, his name is Mullah Yaqub, he refused to see her.
Now,
Mullah Yaqub is Mullah Omar's son. Remember Mullah Omar, the blind guy who had one eye that was in charge of the Taliban for all those years?
Uh-huh.
That's his son, is now the Minister of Defense of the Taliban in Afghanistan. And he said to the Pakistani foreign minister, sorry, I don't want to see you. So she was stood up.
Why didn't he want to see her?
Because he does not want to pull in or restrain the Pakistan Taliban and what they're doing. They're now at a full-scale war against the Pakistan government. And what's happening now is there's fighting going on. Just before the ceasefire was announced, there was a major Pakistan Taliban commander that was killed along with 10 other militants in a gun battle up in Waziristan. And the Pakistan Taliban, they want to—we mentioned Waziristan before. Waziristan and the Fatah, which is the sort of tribal areas, they want to make that into an independent state— That's part of their goal. They want to take over all of Pakistan, but at the beginning, they want to at least declare Waziristan and the Fatah region as an independent state run under Sharia law. They think that the Pakistan government is not Islamic and is therefore satanic and you know, infidel and all that. That's what they're saying.
Everybody's calling the other guys satanic.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, in this case, this is what you called Islamic extremism that is now being introduced into the battlefield where these people that are Pakistanis are fighting against their own government, the military. And our Secretary of State Blinken, just on December 1st, declared one of the leaders, the second leader of the Pakistan Taliban, to be a specially designated global terrorist. Now, that's supposed to be a very severe designation. Unfortunately, it does not come with any enforcement. There's no, as far as I can tell, these specially designated global terrorists, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And they've been living with that designation proudly. And even though they may have financial retribution, you know, you can't go to the shopping center and use your Citibank credit card. Otherwise, there's no military action taken. We used to take direct military action, like you remember when they took out Zawahiri, and they literally killed people. I don't think we have a capture or kill order on this Pakistan Taliban leader. That's not clear. Nobody has explained in public whether we still have capture and kill since we've gotten out of Afghanistan. We are doing some capture and kill with special forces out in Africa against the some of these al-Kabab and people like that, the al-Shabaab that are in Africa. But as far as inside Pakistan, even though he's designated as a specially global terrorist, so what? But anyway, that was something that we did. The Pakistanis are, you know, sort of now regretting that they supported the Afghan Taliban because the Afghan Taliban is telling them, go shove it. And they're supporting the expansion of this Talibanization into Pakistan itself. So all of this is going on. Well, Imran Khan, as I said before, is the former prime minister who's holding marches, you know, protesting the legitimacy of the current government of Pakistan. The current government of Pakistan, by the way, and under Imran Khan beforehand, is broke. Mm. They have no money. Basically, they have a federal deficit of 4.6 trillion Pakistan rupees. Their debt service is taking up 80% of the deficit. All the money that they are collecting is being used to pay debt. And even the defense budget, they have a big military and they have nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. All of that is being funded from borrowed funds. So they don't have money to pay for anything. And another 40% of what they're funding besides the debt service is for government public employees. And, of course, some of it's being stolen into politicians' pockets. So Pakistan is now, literally as of a few days ago, was on the border of bankruptcy. And they just got bailed out by their two heroes. The heroes with lots of zeros.
With lots of zeros,
meaning the money bags.
Yeah.
Guess who that is? China and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
In fact, Saudi Arabia just authorized $3 billion of additional funding. Actually, they loaned them $3 billion a year ago, and they've rolled over the note and said you can have it for another year. So they've essentially extended a $3 billion extension of a loan.
Where are they going to get the $3 billion to pay them back?
They won't. They don't. This is, you know, in a way, this is a $3 billion subsidy of Saudi Arabia in return for getting what Saudi Arabia wants out of Pakistan.
What do they want out of that?
Well, that's, we're going to get into that.
All right.
And China is also funding big time into Pakistan.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it just so happens that President Xi is going to Saudi Arabia this week for a state visit. Now, why would China, the big shot, China, bother to go to some little country like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Well, there are two reasons. One is because Saudi Arabia and China are allied in this Pakistan issue, and they're probably trying to get on the same page on what we want out of Pakistan.
Yeah.
That's one of the guesses. The other one is that Saudi Arabia, of course, is a big oil producer, and China is a big oil consumer. China is now buying lots of oil from Russia. We talked about that earlier, that, you know, the Russians are selling at low price to China, but China may not want to be too dependent on Russian oil and gas, and therefore it's lining up some sales from Saudi Arabia so that they will be safe, not to be so dependent on Russia. They've split their eggs into two baskets. Also, China is making a play to try to get Saudi Arabia to become one of its allies. That's something that, you know, people have said for years. The Saudi Arabians are not really friends of America. This is merely a marriage of convenience or a strategic partnership which is tied to transactions. It's a transactional partnership with America.
What does transactional mean?
It means, you know, I give you something, you give me something. That's basically what a transaction is. So a transactional relationship. There's no love between the two, and we know we have no cultural affinity. Saudi Arabia and this killer dictator, Crown Prince, he is not in favor of democracy. He is not in favor of human rights. He has very few similarities to anything connected to the West, except maybe he likes to eat caviar and drink champagne or something. I don't know, but you know, and he would only do that because, you know, he's the king and can do whatever he wants. Technically, that's against Islamic law, but
what, to eat caviar?
To eat caviar and drink champagne would be against Islamic law.
They don't drink alcohol, right?
Right, yeah. And they don't. But so this is an interesting situation in Pakistan because, as we said, there's going to be increased turbulence domestically from this terrorist group called the Pakistan Taliban. And there's going to be financial chaos because of the economic conditions. And you've got the government struggling over who's going to run the government, whether it's Imran Khan or Shahbaz Sharif. Which are two different parties. So we need to just keep an eye on Pakistan. This could have major consequences in terms of realignment of alliances and in terms of if Pakistan were to collapse, what would happen to the army? What would happen to their nuclear weapons? Would we see Pakistan become a base for expanding terrorism around the world? So, anyway, that's something I just wanted us to keep in mind. This is happening as we're speaking. We won't know for several months how this evolves, but it gives you a glimpse into what's happening right now. The Pakistan government is fighting against the Pakistan Taliban, and the Afghan Taliban is supporting the Pakistan Taliban instead of supporting the Pakistan government, which is what the Pakistanis thought they had bought and paid for the Afghan Taliban. And now they're finding out, guess what? They didn't. Betrayal. They would say betrayal. I would say it serves you right. When you back somebody as duplicitous as the Afghan Taliban, don't expect Mullah Omar and Mullah Yaqub to play for long on your side. They'll double-cross you.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, anyway,
these people living out these strange lives, you know, I just I don't understand it. You know, that what's the I guess people don't look at it with anything. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in an eternal reward.
their belief, if you want to get into the Muslim theology, and this is actually part of it, gets a bit deeper into this Talibanization issue. The Taliban are called Deobandis. The Deobandis originated from India with a guy named Madhudi. Madhudi was the original cleric of this version of Islam, Madhudiism is actually the term for it, and Diabandi is a version.
Madhudiism.
Madhudi. Madhudi was the guy's name. And Madhudiism is an application of Diabandi. The other extremists, like ISIS, and there is an ISIS-K, which is Khorasan, ISIS-Khorasan, they are believers in the Salafi version, which is from the Wahhabis from Saudi Arabia. Mm. Now, they are even more extreme than the Pakistan Taliban. And there is some, going back to this assassination of the ambassador, there is now the claim by Pakistan that the assassination, and this is a big deal when you try to assassinate somebody on their own diplomatic compound, that's considered sacred space. And the Pakistanis are claiming that this is ISIS-K, that's ISIS-Khorasan, that was behind the assassination attempt. Now, many of these ISIS-K people are former Taliban who have left the Taliban and joined ISIS-K because the Taliban wasn't extreme enough. Mm-hmm. So they're actually looking for a further level of extremism. But they are supported, ISIS-K is supported by the Wahhabi theology of Saudi Arabia, which is even more extreme than Madhudism. So anyway, that's enough of the backstory on that.
Okay.
We
got to talk about Pearl Harbor Day first before we invite our guests in here.
Okay.
You guys can go ahead and go to the back kitchen if you want. We'll be with you in just a moment. Get some coffee and enjoy yourselves.
I'm going to have to run, but I'm going to leave.
Oh, no, you can't run.
I got a guy I got to meet.
Really? We'll come in here and introduce this guy so you can tell other people what it's about. Then we'll do the Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, we'll...
Okay. Close that door behind you, would you? Come on in here. Or sit right here, if you would. Sit right here.
Здравствуйте.
Здравствуйте.
Очень приятно познакомиться.
И мне тоже.
Владимир. Меня зовут Давид. Давид.
Владимир.
Владимир, окей.
По-украински Володимир.
Украинский, не русский. Okay, we'll speak in English. Не можно понимать?
Плохо.
Плохо. И я не практика достаточно...
У вас хороший русский язык.
Хороший?
Я вас понимаю.
Спасибо. Понимаю, yeah. So we can at least...
Put your microphone in place.
He doesn't... His name is Vladimir from Ukraine.
Yeah.
Как ciudad...
It's Vladimir Putin. He's in here incognito.
No, it's not.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Город. Как город in...
Бровари.
А?
Бровари.
Бровари.
Это Киевская область.
Okay, it's in Kiev. He lives in Ковари. Brovary, in the Kiev Oblast. Oblasts are a region of each area.
Before you two will talk after he's got to leave. Tell us how you brought this man from Ukraine to America.
Okay, I've got him here through a program called United for Ukraine. Basically, the Ukrainians on their end sign up for this program. I'm not quite sure what they have to do. On our end, basically, we just have to be able to connect with someone in the Ukraine, which there's a platform that works very well to do that called welcome.us. And you go on there and you put what you're willing to offer and provide and a little bit about yourself and a picture, and then you can connect with these people and correspond with them. And if you feel comfortable with someone, it's someone who you wish to sponsor, then you create an account with United States Customs Service. You fill out a form that's known as the Declaration of Financial Support. And then if that's approved, you have your beneficiary come to the United States. And
that's what happened here.
And that's
now, how long
here.
Will he stay here?
Well,
to the end of the war, or what?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to come looking for him, honestly, but it's technically a two-year parole. It's humanitarian parole. And he's
hold on. That's right. That's the word you used yesterday, humanitarian.
Humanitarian parole is the status. So it's not an immigrant. It's a parolee.
Yes.
Okay, that's an interesting distinction.
It's a two-year program, I believe. And I have a feeling by that time, as long as he doesn't go kill somebody, I don't think anybody's going to try to haul him off to the Ukraine.
Well, he would want to return to Ukraine if the war is over. That's in most cases.
I don't think he does.
In many cases.
Does he have family?
They want to return.
No. Do you have a family?
Yeah.
No family? Single man?
Single.
Yeah.
Odinstvo. Okay. So anyway, that's very useful information to know for the audience out there.
And if anybody wants more information,
give
what's the
location
website
again?
It's welcome.us.
Hold on, welcome.us, not .us, just .us. Welcome.us. Yep.
I think it's just welcome.us. Dot. I believe.
Okay.
That will get you into the location where you can then find
and it's simpler than that. If anybody's confused, I give my phone number out over the air.
Okay, what's your phone number?
You've got to be a fool to do, but 772-559-2151.
Okay. Yeah.
And there are quite a few Ukrainians living in this area. I know.
Is he looking to get a job as a plumber?
Yeah.
Possibly. I probably have work for him to do, at least on a temporary basis.
Oh, you do, with your turmeric farm?
That's right.
But listen, you've already put in papers to get 14 more. Where are you gonna house these people?
Well, that's probably not a subject I ought to get into too much on the air. But
maybe we should build a hotel.
No, there are what? Families, Ukrainian families, living in this area.
What do you plan?
Well, but between you and me and all the people that are listening to us, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I'm not actually trying to get all 14 of them coming to me. A lot of them just simply asked me to fill out the papers for them. They don't need me. They have someone they can go to. Yeah. One guy's probably going to wind up in Indiana. In other words, I am agreeing on paper, telling the USCIS.
Well, this guy hit the lottery. He's in Florida.
Other people, they basically just need someone to fill out the paper for them.
Well, let's not go any further than that at the moment.
It's probably just as well.
The point is that there are lots of Ukrainians in need right now because of this, bombing campaign and the power outages. I wanted to mention, for example, everybody's been following this situation in Aberdeen, North Carolina, where the power plants were just taken out by somebody shooting at the substations, and you've had 30,000 people without electricity in cold conditions, no heat, no electricity.
40's not cold.
Guess what? No, guess what? That's the same thing the Ukrainians are going through.
Worse.
Except 100 times worse.
Yes.
They're doing every day of the week. Russia is blowing up their power plants with rockets, as opposed to some stupid, anti-gay terrorist or something that's shooting at the power plant here in the in North Carolina. So you can empathize by feeling. If you're worried about Americans freezing in cold conditions, then think about what's happening to our friends and allies in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And
they are our allies.
Bratsky otnoshenia. Brotherly relations, yeah. That's
I personally feel like their culture is not that different from ours. I mean, they speak a different language, and I know there are cultural differences, but I wouldn't know how to relate to a guy from, I don't know, Somalia or something. We're going to be very, very different.
No, Ukrainians are for the most part are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they are very devout. They have churches. Lavrov Monastery, all of this area in Kyiv, beautiful churches. It is actually a lot of cultural similarities to the Americans. And if we're not in a war, I would recommend anyone to go visit Kyiv. It's a beautiful city, beautiful. Очень красивый город. Kyiv, Minyan Ravitsa. But right now is not the time to visit. Right now is the time to help the Ukrainians. Besides helping people get out of Ukraine, if they're eligible, the other thing is to provide blankets and heaters and generators. I mentioned this before, that we actually should be having a Department of Defense initiative to request volunteers to donate generators from all over Florida and all over the country, where we have lots of generators that are sitting around not being used, and put them on C-4s and fly them over to Poland and then distribute them into Ukraine. That could be done.
Well, I think what I've noticed, and see if you guys agree with me on this, that, the way our news cycles, I guess is the word for it. The whole war in Ukraine and situation seems to have fallen out of favor with the press right now in lieu of other more...
No, I disagree. I think it depends on which press you're watching.
Okay, well, the press I watch, but I'm saying it in the mainstream media, I'm not sure that there's been a whole lot. I've had people ask me, so is there still a war? I mean, is that still happening?
And it's like, I know. Okay. And that's why we're having on this show with Rhett. We talk about Ukraine almost every week. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just talked for the last half an hour, if you want to go back and
listen to our show. He's former diplomat, Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah. Посольство, американское посольство в Киеве. Я работал. Ukraine is really right up there right now. The Ukrainians successfully bombed air bases and destroyed two Russian strategic bombers using drones. That would happen in the last couple of days. Inside, 400 miles inside Ukraine.
Wow.
I mean, inside Russia. So
these guys are holding their own.
They're holding their own, and they're basically now taking the fight into Russia. They're not attacking Russian civilians.
Mm-hmm.
They're attacking Russian military bases that are being used to launch attacks on Ukraine. So it's self-defense.
And how much of it is Ukrainian army, and how much of it's NATO?
That's all Ukrainian.
Okay.
That's Ukrainian drones.
Okay.
That are being used for those attacks, and they're not admitting that they're Ukrainian drones. There's some suspicions that maybe these are Russian drones that have been reprogrammed by modifying the GPS on the drones and getting them to turn around and attack back.
I see.
Which could be happening, but we don't know. That's all far, you know, outside of. But for whatever reason, Russia now has had several attacks on military bases, including strategic bombers being blown up right on the field. So Russia is hopefully going to realize that it's not a good idea to mess with Ukraine, and it needs to...
What are their options for an exit strategy that Putin could save face?
I would say the best exit strategy would be for Putin to pack his bags and head to Mexico with his billions, and he could live quietly a life in exile and let somebody that's Netak Durak... be the leader of Ukraine. I mean, leader of Russia. You know, you've got some idiots around Putin, like Mr. the Wagner Group's Prigozhin and the Chechen Gucci Boots guy, Ramzan Kadyrov. They're also idiots. They should be.
Okay.
They
you
should
just hit the microphone.
I know. Sorry. Yeah. They should be removed from service. They are not. Providing anything useful to Ukraine and anything useful to Russia. Russia needs to be liberated from this mafia-infested dictatorship that Vladimir Putin is running.
Oh, well, how's Putin's popularity at home within Russia on this whole thing? Are the people behind him on this war? Or
they're basically behind him with troops behind them with guns at their back.
I see.
Yeah, that's how...
Yeah, the young men wanted to leave the country.
Hundreds of thousands fled the country.
I was hearing that basically Putin has shut down all but government-run news agencies there and really pushing this propaganda on the people that it's NATO that's the aggressors, it's the Americans that were really fighting. And by the way, I'm going to say something here. That Putin, one of the reasons Putin's getting away with this narrative is he is showing pictures of American cross-dressers and all this kind of transgender stuff right now and saying, this is who we're fighting, and if we don't win, they're coming for you. So that's why I got a little issue with a whole lot of this stuff. It's not whether or not, you know, you think what's right and this and that, but it's bad for America right now to act like...
What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the right word I can use on the radio.
What Putin is doing, and this is classic Russian disinformation, is he is turning black into white. He is redefining that.
That gay people want to invade Russia?
Yeah. What he's saying is that American liberal Western European values are satanic and are. He's fighting to preserve. The true Christianity, the fact that his church, the Russian Orthodox Church of Ukraine, and Mr. the Patriarch, Mr. Kirill. Kirill is a former KGB. Kirill, yes, KGBnik, Nastoyashi, Rabotov. KGB. Yeah, he worked for the KGB before he became the top religious leader of the Russian Orthodox Church. The Russian KGB has infiltrated the Russian Orthodox Church. That's as evil as you can get.
Wow.
Okay. And so Vladimir Putin is, everything that he says is a lie. It's that simple.
He's good at it.
He's good at it.
He's former head of KGB,
and he's turned the narrative around that the Ukrainians are Nazis. Like, yeah, Mr. Zelensky is Jewish, a Jewish Nazi. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But in the sense that they are persecuting the Russians that living within Ukraine.
And he's also claiming that the Ukrainians have invaded Russia.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see tanks lined up on the border of Crimea. Or even, you know, it's ludicrous.
But you're saying that he's using a narrative that it's these godless Americans in NATO that are coming for you that
absolutely.
We have to fight.
That's what it is. That's his argument to the public, although the Russian public is starting to wise up and realize that isn't true.
Ah, okay.
And as they see body bags coming back, and they've lost at least 100,000 Russian soldiers so far, and those people have families, and those bodies are coming back into Russia. And that they're starting to realize the cost of this war is not worth it.
So these bombs going off, were them detonating these bombs that were no good?
Which bombs?
In Russia.
No, the bombs were, those were Ukrainian drones that detonated the bombs The Ukraine flew drones into Russian territory.
Can you believe that?
Yes, 400 miles inside Russian territory and blew up bombers. That is airplanes, these, you know, Tupolev bombers, big bombers. Each of the bombers, my guess is those bombers are probably $100 million apiece. I mean, our bombers are about $1 billion apiece for the B-2s. Believe it or not, they're very expensive.
A billion
apiece, yeah, for a B-2 bomber. They cost a lot.
I remember in the beginning of this thing, it was a little bit of an embarrassment for the Russians because it was like, you know, they're very frugal and they don't like to throw anything away. But what they neglected to do was put new tires on things before they started an invasion. And you know how tires just get old just from sitting. They still look just fine, but when you take them out and
even
put them to
task.
Even
if you have a car, I found that out. You have a car that sits for 5 years, you go to take it out.
It's called tire rot.
I don't care if it has 5 miles on that tire, especially if you put a load on and start traveling at high speed. Yeah, we all know about this. Well, apparently this was like a problem for the Russian military. They were just, you know, blowing up tires left and right trying to get there.
Yeah. Well, the logistics of Russia and its war-fighting capability have brought them down many pegs from being a world-class military. We have seen that on the battlefield. And you have poor command and control. The generals are political. They're not really, you know, it's not a Marshal Zhukov.
I see,
They're not Marshal Zhukov.
They're not real generals.
They're not real generals.
They're like, you, my friend, you do business with me, I give you general.
Yeah, Shoigu, for example, who's the defense minister and also one of the generals, top general, he's just a friend of Vladimir Putin's, came from Tuva, Tuva Oblast. It's a way out in the Far East area. He's not even Russian. This is the irony. He's a Mongolian. Ethnically, he's Mongolian.
Wow.
And
okay.
And here Putin is fighting for great Russian Slavic nationalism, and his defense minister isn't even Slav.
Well, is he sort of using mercenary forces from what did I hear?
Wagner Group. The mercenary from Wagner, but the Wagner is and the Chechens, they are also mercenaries.
Okay,
that's why I mentioned those two groups are mercenaries. They should be designated, both of them, as terrorist groups. This is under discussion. The United States has not designated Wagner or the Chechens as a terrorist organization, but they are terrorist organizations.
Now, where's the Wagner Group from?
Wagner Group is in Moscow. That's Prigozhin, Yuri Prigozhin.
Okay.
Yeah, and Wagner Group is hiring people as mercenaries from as far away as Africa to come and fight against the Ukrainians.
Did I hear Syria?
Syria, Africa, it doesn't matter. Okay. Wherever they're falling, they're just hiring, you know, mercenaries. It's a mercenary.
Guns for hire.
Guns for Hire. Yeah, exactly.
Probably not nice guys.
Not nice guys, exactly. And he's also, the Wagner Group has been going to the prisons in Russia and saying, if you are willing to fight for the Wagner Group, we will get you out of prison and we'll give you some money. So he's basically hiring.
Who's not going to do that?
Well, obviously, what happens is these guys that are in prison, they'll say, okay, I'm going to join your Wagner Group. And when they get to Ukraine, they flee across and defect to the Ukrainian side.
I pulled up here on a—I rode my Russian-made motorcycle up Ural over here. What a piece of junk. I think it was made by Russian prisoners, too, you know? But it was the only thing that was big enough with a sidecar that I could put a diesel engine in. And
Changed the engine out.
I changed the engine out to a diesel engine, and now it's usable. But, otherwise, what a piece of junk.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, listen, we're going to go back to the Pearl Harbor Day.
Okay, that was nice to introduce.
Okay, I'm going to take him with you because I don't know what I would do with him when we're done.
He'll wander around. He's okay.
No, you got to take him with you.
Yeah. Give me another 5 minutes and let's talk directly.
You two talk directly.
Vladimir. Yeah. So I'll do a little brief.
Vladimir.
Yeah. Vladimir. It's the same.
Same thing. Okay.
Yeah. Как вы думаете, что ситуация...
Tell us what you're saying.
What do you think? I will. Как вы думаете, что ситуация в Украине сейчас? Now, I said, what do you think of the situation in Ukraine right now?
Сейчас очень тяжелая ситуация в Украине. Тепла нету. Электричество отключают постоянно. Соответственно, в квартирах холодно.
So the apartments are cold. There's no electricity. Yes, трудно жить.
Очень.
It's very difficult to live.
Россия целенаправленно уничтожает инфраструктуру. Электростанции, тепловые станции, газопроводы, все, что может. Она воюет не с армией Украины, а воюет с народом Украины.
Yeah, so the Russians are attacking the electrical infrastructure and all the other infrastructures, systems. Есть достаточно возможностей жить в Львове и в Западе, в Украине?
Ну, много выехало людей. Больше всего Германия приняла, другие страны, Чехия приняла беженцев.
Okay, he's saying that the Czechs and Germans, yes,
помощь.
За армас и
армии помогают и приняли людей. Дали жилье, я не знаю какое, но то, что я знаю по телевидению и газетам, интернет.
Но вы как сильный, но старый человек.
Но не старый. Душой молодой.
Еще молодой. Почему не бояться против... русская армия, вы.
Почему я боюсь?
Почему вы не хотите бояться против русской армии? Есть возможно жить здесь, но мой вопрос есть, почему не бояться против русской армии? Есть патриотический вопрос. Mm-hmm. Трудный. I'm asking why is he here as a he calls himself still a young man, молодный, no молодный. But you know he is a strong plumber. So why is he here instead of fighting against the Russians?
Меня больше всего испугало. Может быть, больше удивило, почему молодые русские солдаты превратились фашистов.
Okay, the young Russian soldiers are fascists, fascistas, да.
Mm-hmm. Удивительно, кто был в оккупации, они убивают людей, насилуют женщин.
Those that are...
Детей убивают. А, детей увозят в Россию насильно.
So the children are taken to Russia, and the people that the Russians capture, including Zhinsky, убивается. They kill them. They're killing them.
Женщин насилуют.
Yeah.
Насилуют женщин.
Yeah. So конечно, есть опасный бороться против. Pero, если я был настоящий Украин человек, я хочет бы начинать армия против Russia. I'm saying if I were a real Ukrainian, I would want to take up arms against the Russians, mm-hmm. против Russians. So it's трудный вопрос. Понятно, если вы можно ассистировать Украину из ДС, как информации, it's хорошо. So I'm saying if he can provide information about Ukraine to Americans and get American help to go to Ukraine, then maybe he's как посол.
Doing a lot more for his country.
Как посол из Украины, like an ambassador of Ukraine.
Понятно.
Yes.
Всем знакомым, которые звоню я или мне звонят в Украине, которые остались, по разным причинам. У кого-то семья, дом, ну не могут выехать. Я им говорю только так как оно есть, все хорошо здесь. Первое – безопасность.
Yeah, for security. First reason is for security. You know, he wants to live safely, which mm-hmm. is clear. You know, that's
probably
clear.
63 years old.
Most people don't want to put their lives on the line. How many people, you know, when Rhett and I talked on the show once before. We were talking about, you know, invasion of Ukraine, and Rhett was saying, well, if I had friends or family in Ukraine, I would be working hard to get them out to Poland. And my response was, why should they flee instead of fight? You know? Yeah.
Well, at the time, it probably looked rather hopeless if this was early days. Everyone assumed that Russia was going to run
over.
That was the early days.
You're right.
Yeah.
No one
expected them to do as good of a job as they are, right?
No, the Ukraine men have been courageous.
Yes, and not just Ukraine men, women
tell
too.
Zhenshin
too.
Toja
Baratsia. Zhenshina. Toja Baratsia. So you have women fighting as well. This is a very national struggle. It's a struggle against, as Vladimir said, these are Nazis, Ruski Nazi.
But they're calling the Ukrainians
the Nazis to confuse things. It's called the fog of war. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the audience, oh, maybe Vladimir's right. Maybe the Ukrainians are Nazis. You know,
nobody knows who to believe.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of what Russian disinformation is about: is to create a inability to know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and then you can propagate your lie.
Right.
And your lie is as good as the truth because we've confused what the truth is. So don't let that happen to us as an American audience out there. We know the truth. And the truth is that Russia is an aggressive invader like Hitler, Adolf Hitler.
Now, I've heard someone of Russian-Ukrainian descent that was there, you know, from way back during the USSR times and everything. It was actually a younger man than I know here whose parents came from there.
Right.
And he disagrees with his parents. But according to his parents, Ukraine is part of Russia, okay? Now, he has a little disagreement with his folks, being a little bit younger and having a little different point of view. And he says, look, these Ukrainians have done very well and have prospered since the USSR dissolved and they had their
own nationality. Ukraine was not part of Russia. Ukraine was part of the USSR. There is a difference. The USSR included... countries like Poland. Poland was part of the USSR.
You remember that?
Romania, Eastern Germany. Lithuania.
Eastern Germany, exactly. Right. Romania was part of the USSR. Right. That does not make them part of Russia.
So this is a false claim to
it's
try
a false
to say
claim.
That Ukraine was always Russia.
Because Russia is not USSR. Russia
right.
is a separate area
right.
from the USSR.
Right.
And Ukraine was a member of the USSR, but it was not a part of Russia.
So this isn't like Florida trying to secede from the United States.
No, it's not.
It's not like Mexico claiming that Texas is technically theirs.
That's the voice in the in the screen over there. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Speak.
All right.
Mom.
Well, anyway. So I think we got a good introduction from Vladimir yeah. of the situation.
Yeah.
And I got enough practice on my Ukrainian for for 1 year. Достаточно практиковаться в украинский и желаю вам успех
спасибо.
С новым
спасибо. That's Russian for thank
спасибо.
You.
Or дякую. Дякую. Хорошо.
Russian спасибо. Ukraine. Дякую.
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 Not спасибо.
Дякую.
No, дякую. Де.
Дякую. Дякую.
So just to be clear, D-Y. Russian and Ukrainian are two different languages.
They are very similar languages.
It's like French and Spanish.
And
okay.
Когда я жил в Украине и с акцентом, достаточно люди думают, я из Польши.
Из Польши.
Из Польши. They thought that I was Polish because they thought I was speaking Russian with a Polish accent, which is frankly very much Ukrainsky as Slavyansky Yazyk no. S akcentem Polski, especially
okay.
in Lviv. You know, you've got this area.
Lviv, Polski и Украинский очень похожи.
It's very close.
Они поляки и украинец друг друга всегда поймут.
So,
русский чуть-чуть к польскому.
It's not so close, yeah.
Like I can speak French with the American. I'm not speaking French, but people think I'm from. Anyway,
yeah. So the language issue is important for Ukraine because they are trying to establish their national identity as separate from Russia and Belarus and these other areas. You know, Moldova and so forth. So they're trying to establish, and I could go into extensive discussion of the history of Ukraine versus Russia, but that's for another
but
day.
But suffice it to say that it's an illegitimate argument that Ukraine belongs to Russia and ought to just roll over and give them everything that they've fought for the past bunch of years.
Correct. Yeah. And you even have a separate, what's called an autoencephalotic church now. The Ukrainian church is no longer connected in any way to the Russian Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ukrainian Orthodoxy and you have Russian Orthodoxy. They're two separate organizations. There's no overlapping
okay.
of the two.
Okay.
So,
Maybe we're about to run along, I guess, but anyway, I'd just like to sort of reiterate a little bit what I said yesterday. Right now, there's a lot of people trying to get here from Ukraine. And we're not taking people off the front line that should be fighting. A lot of these are widows of men who have died in this war. They have children. Right now they have no electricity or at least rolling blackouts, no heat. Internet service is spotty, so you wonder how many of them can't even get online to enroll
right.
in this United for Ukraine program. But any U.S. citizen who is willing to help can do this. Believe me, if I can get through it, anyone can, and I'm willing to help anyone navigate this system
wow.
to
that's
be able
pretty
to,
big, that's
to,
pretty
to
big
do this.
Yeah.
So.
Again, your phone number 772-559-2151.
Yes, 77. Sir.
Call now and get a free trip to Hawaii for two at 772-559-2151. That's 559-2151.
Get your Ukrainian now. The supplies are limited.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
You all done with me?
Yeah, we're going to take a picture
set.
Of you two out
you.
In the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we going to say goodbye for today, or do we have more to talk about? Or are we
no,
done?
We're
no.
Done.
Okay. We're done for today. See you later, alligator and a wild crocodile. Ooh. Let's go take a picture of this. Watch you see this in there.